I'm honored to be here and be invited by the Bishop of Dresden. Amen. It's really good to see a lot of my pastor friends. And amen. I love and appreciate every one of you. Praise the Lord. I brought a couple of my men with me. They had the day off, so I got them up real early on their day off. It only took us like 2 hours and 45 minutes to get here. We got stuck on the thruway for about a half hour, just sat there. But it finally moved along. Amen. Isaiah chapter 6 is where I'm headed. If you would go there too, please. Amen. It's good to be saved, and you know what? I got saved over 41 and a half years ago. Still haven't gotten over it yet. I'm just as excited today about being saved as I was then. And I just want to talk to you today about some things that the Lord blessed me, basically. I want to read these scriptures, first of all. So let me read Isaiah chapter 6. Beginning of verse 1, follow along with me if you would. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up. And his train filled the temple, and above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the posts of the doors moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, "Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged." Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And then said I, "Here am I, send me." And he said, "Go and tell this people." Amen. Let me stop there and pray. Father, I'm thankful and grateful for the opportunity to preach. And I love these men and their families. I appreciate them so much. I pray your blessings on this time, Lord, as we look at the scriptures. And I tell folks a little bit about some of the things, God, you've done, the blessings in my life. I love you, Lord, and I thank you and praise you for being my God. I'm thankful for who you are and what you are. And so bless our time together today, and may it be fruitful, and may it honor you always. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Thankful I have Brother Rick. I led Brother Rick to the Lord about 3 years ago. We just celebrated his third Christian birthday. Amen. We were out together, and I asked him, I said, what's the date? What date is today? And he said, "It's the 8th, March the 8th. And I said, "Isn't that when you got saved?" He said, "It is." I said, "Happy birthday." Amen. He was kind of like ripe fruit, ready to fall off the vine. He was ready to be saved. So I'm so glad he's with us. And Brother George, where's George? There he is. He's back there. I brought him along too. So, amen. Praise the Lord. Isaiah saw Jesus, I believe. And he wrote about him. And the temple of God is thrown open here, and for Isaiah to view the most holy place. And the prophet is standing outside, or maybe in the doorway of the temple, and he sees the divine presence seated on the throne, high and lifted up. And his divine glory, the Bible says, filled the temple. And the vision is mentioned in the Gospel of John as well. In John 12 and verse 41, John wrote this, These things said Isaiah when he saw his glory and spoke of him. Amen. So I believe Isaiah saw the Messiah, at least the manifestation of God in the person of Jesus Christ. And John quotes these words in this chapter as applicable to Jesus Christ. He saw His glory and spoke and spake of Him. Isaiah would write, "Therefore the Lord shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and hear us and bear a son, and shall call His name Emmanuel." And he writes in Isaiah 9:6, "For unto you, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon His shoulder, and His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." He also wrote Isaiah 53, where he said of the Lord, "He's despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from Him. He was despised and we esteemed Him not." And He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. We read in the book of Acts, and Acts chapter 8, the Ethiopian eunuch, he's reading. Somebody either bought a Bible or gave him a letter or a copy of it or something. He's reading Isaiah the prophet, and he's reading these verses, and he says, "I pray thee, whom saith the prophet this? Whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or some other man?" And Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scriptures, and it says he preached unto him Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Isaiah was the prophet of God for that day. He was the man of the hour. But when he got a glimpse of the throne of God, when he got a glimpse of God, he realized he was undone.
Yes.
I am undone. And did you ever feel that way? Did you ever feel like, "Well, I'm the preacher, I'm the guest speaker, I'm the man of the hour," and then all of a sudden you get a hold of God and you find out I'm nothing. I'm just an animated dirt ball, you know. I'm just that's all I am. I'm nothing. And I think that's what Isaiah did. He has this life changing, life transforming vision of God's glory, and I can associate with that in a little bit. Of a way, and I there was a time when I thought I had it all together too, and then I took a Bible Institute course, and I'm like, "Oh, I read the Bible once, I got it all together here," and I read it all the way through. I'm not kidding, Genesis to Revelation. And I remember saying something. I had a little bit of a cocky attitude, I'm sure, and I remember saying something to somebody, and they said, "Well, you think you know everything? Why don't you go to the Bible Institute?" So I said, "Okay." It was on a Saturday night, I think they had a class, and Pastor Milosh was teaching the book of Hebrews, verse by verse, and I'm like, yeah, that's I probably should go for a little more further education, you know. And I went and sat in on this class, and everything went right over my head. I didn't have a clue what they were talking about. I didn't have a clue.
Yeah.
And I just said, "Woe is me. I'm done." And man, I was I remember my second year after being saved. I was one year after I was saved. I was on the fence. I was trying to have fun in the world and still, you know, be the Christian that I was supposed to be. And it just wasn't working out. And I went to church. Our church had special meetings that week. And I went on a Monday or a Tuesday morning. And I had just worked the midnight shift, got out at 7. They had service at 9 or something like that. And Jack Hiles was the guest speaker. And he preached a message entitled, "How Shall We Escape If We Neglect So Great a Salvation?" Man, it smote me. It was a life-changing message. And I determined from that day on I was not going to be a fence walker. I was going to live for God. I was going to give up the things of the world that I was still involved with. And it changed. That message changed my life. And I think I was... And then when I was 30 years old, I got saved when I was 19. And when I was 30 years old, I felt God's leading, God's tugging in my heart, my life, to preach the gospel. And in August of 1985, I surrendered my life to the Lord. I said, "God, whatever you want, I'll do it." And I knew that I didn't know anything. And so I knew that I needed to enroll in the Bible Institute that our church had. And so I enrolled in the Bible Institute. And I believe it was a year or so later just going through the mundane, everyday things. I was working a full-time job at Kodak. I had a full-time family of five, and I was going to night school full-time. And working shift to work, changing every week, too. I think that was crazy. I used up, fortunately, I had a lot of vacation. I had like 5 weeks vacation at that time, 4 or 5 weeks. And I just took days off so I wouldn't miss classes. And so for 4 years, I did that. And it was in my second year, I think, in the Bible Institute. It was in February. Because I remember at the first of the year, in January, I was talking to the Lord and telling Him that I needed Him in my life. And I hadn't felt His presence in my life. And I needed Him. I wanted Him in my life. And so I remember I certainly wanted to do whatever pleased our Lord. And I just wanted to make sure my relationship and my fellowship with God was good. And I remember fasting and prayer. I tell my wife, I'm going to fast and pray. I just need to get a hold of God. I just want to know if God's pleased with me. And so I started fasting. I said, I'm going to fast until I get an answer. Well, after about 3 or 4 days, it was like, I can't do it anymore. And I was working a full-time job, and it was strenuous, and so I broke my fast. But I did it several weeks at a time. I'd fast for a couple, 2, 3, 4 days, and just trying to get a hold of God. And I'm going to keep doing it till God speaks to me. And I remember I was really in need of some confirmation that what I was doing was what He wanted me to do. And where I was at in my life was where He wanted me to be in my life. And so I remember just crying out to God for approval. I spent days fasting and just to show the Lord how serious I was. And I had, I call it my epiphany, and took place one night in a classroom in the Bible Institute, North Star Bible Institute. And an epiphany is a sudden, here, I'll read the definition, a sudden intuitive perception of or insight into the reality or essential meaning of something, a moment in which you suddenly see or understand something in a new, fresh, and very clear way. Well, I was sitting in that classroom, and it was a school. School by day and a Bible Institute by night. And so we adults were sitting in these younger children's desks. You know how you crunch into those things and use those desks. And I was listening to actually our teacher. I remember the class very vividly. The teacher was Brother Hal Roscoe. I didn't know if he was here today or not, but he was teaching a course on missions. And he preached out of this text in the book of Isaiah. And there probably were about 15 students in the class in attendance that night, several of which I clearly remember. If I was sitting here, next to me was Dennis Anderson. And on the other side of Dennis Anderson, we were about three rows back. On the other side of Dennis Anderson was Bobby Bonner. And Brother Oliver was there, and other people that I don't remember very, very well right now. And he began to explain this passage of Scripture in detail and teaching us that Isaiah was a great prophet of God for that time period, and that he was the Apostle Paul, if you please, of the Old Testament, the man for the age, and that he had influence over four kings in which he tried to have a good rapport with, and though he fearlessly confronted them of their immorality, and he had been particularly close to King Uzziah. And so that's when, in the year that King Uzziah died, that's when Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up. The secret to Isaiah's life should really be, I believe, everyone's experience. The secret of all of Isaiah's power really rested in the vision that he saw God in the temple. He said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord. It was a changing, life-changing, life-transforming experience for Isaiah. He experienced, first of all, conviction. And he says in the post, around verse 4, the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried. House was filled with smoke. And then he said, woe is me. He experienced conviction. And then he made a confession. He said, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. And for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And the psalmist said in Psalm 51:17 that the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. And then there was a cleansing that took place in Isaiah's life. And he said, one of the seraphims flew unto me, having a live coal in his hand, and taking it with the tongs from off the altar, and laid it upon my mouth, and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged.
Amen.
And then I read in verse 8 that there was a calling. He said, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us?
Amen.
And then in Isaiah's life, there was a consecration, if you please. He said, here am I. Send me. I'll go. And then after that consecration, there was a confirmation and a commission. And he said, and God said, go then and tell this people. And so as Pastor Roscoe was preaching and teaching on this missions class, I visualized this. I lost myself. I was there with Isaiah in the scriptures.
Right.
You know, you learn the Bible a whole lot more when you put yourself in the scriptures.
Right.
And that's what I do often. This day, when he was teaching it, I was there. I visualized what was going on. And it's almost like I wasn't sitting in the classroom. I was there in the Spirit as Isaiah spoke and saw the Lord high and lifted up. And I envisioned those creatures around the throne saying, holy, holy, holy. And I was dirty, dirty, dirty compared to them. I envisioned, I imagined the Lord speaking, saying, who's going to go tell him? Who's going to go tell him? And I not only visualized it, I analyzed it, and then I personalized it as well in my life. And I reaffirmed at that night my commitment to the Lord, and I remember muttering these words softly, I'll go, God, I'll go.
Amen.
I'll do what you want me to do. I'll say what you want me to say, and I'll do it. And by the way, so did apparently others that were in the class as well, because I believe that night there was a mini revival that broke out in that classroom. Amen. Brother Bobby Bonner, I remember, and Brother Dennis Anderson sitting next to me, and myself all tried to, I don't know, it was like we had to stand up, we had to shout, there was some shouting and singing, and we started to stand up, our desk tipped over, fell over, and there was books, and all, it was just a mess. I mean, it was like, woo, glory. And we just got excited in the Lord. You know, once in a while, it's okay to get excited in the Lord, amen? Doesn't God say, make a joyful noise unto the Lord? And so that's what we made, a lot of noise, a lot of racket at that time. And desks were flying and tipped over, and we had, it was almost like we had an upper room Pentecostal experience, you know, in that lonely, dark, cold night in February when God showed up.
Yeah.
Amen. Something happened that night, and we saw him high and holy and lifted up. And it brought conviction to our lives.
Yeah.
And it brought about confession from our lips. And there was a cleansing that night that took place in our lives too. And God's calling was confirmed to all, I believe, that were present there that evening. And I can't explain to you in words how good it felt having God's presence evidence in that little classroom. There was a consecration and a confirmation that took place that night too. I remember Bobby Bonner. I remember Bobby Bonner and Dennis Anderson. They determined, I believe, that night that they were going to Zambia, Africa. They were gonna go to be missionaries there, and they had been praying. They had been seeking. They gave testimony. We've been praying. We've been seeking God's face. We've been, you know, just doing it. And that night, they gave testimony. I believe that they had a confirmation of that. And I just sat there and just wept. I couldn't believe God answered my prayer in such an awesome way. And the teacher was a little, I think, upset or whatever at first for us disrupting the class and the teaching, as you can imagine. But I think he soon realized that it was really God was moving. The Spirit of God was moving in our hearts and in our lives. And he just kind of stood back and allowed it to take place. And it was just a real blessing. And the class soon ended, and we prayed, and we wept with tears of joy, and we went home, knowing that we had been with the God of heaven. And I couldn't wait to get home to tell my wife. I didn't have to fast anymore for 2, 3, 4 days. I got a hold of God. Amen.
Yeah.
God showed me I was doing exactly what God wanted me to do. And I was exactly where God wanted me to be that night in that Bible Institute class, sitting at that desk in that classroom. I was exactly where God wanted me to be. Did you ever have that? You know, God's done that for me many times. When I went to Holland, New York, I'd graduated, prepared, you know, ready to go. And Pastor Phillips and Pastor Grace at that time got a call from this little country church looking for somebody who believed the King James Bible is the Word of God, who could pastor them. And they both recognized me, recommended me. Little did they know I lived in the city of Buffalo, and I wanted out. Or I lived in the city of Rochester, I'm sorry, and I wanted out of the city. And things are just getting uncomfortable for me in many ways, being in Rochester. And so I wanted out. And the opportunity came. And they're like, Brother O'Dell, please don't say no. At least go see this church. Go check it out. Go preach for them a week or two, you know. And I'm like, little did they know, I wanted to. Amen. I want to go see what God had for me. And when I went out to Holland, it was like, I'm driving down the road before I even got to the church. I said, this is where God wants me to be. This is where God wants me to be. Amen. I know it. When I got to the church and preached for those folks, I just knew this was exactly where God wanted me to be. And I thank the Lord for that. I've had at least a couple other churches over the years call me and say, we want you to be our pastor. Please come. It's a bigger church. We can probably give you more salary, you know, that sort of thing. And I'm like, nah, I'm sorry. God didn't tell me to leave yet. I'm still right exactly where I'm supposed to be. Amen. I don't know what you call it, an epiphany or a second blessing, or maybe just a filling of God's Holy Spirit in my life. But it has happened many, many, many times in my life. And each time, I am overwhelmed by His goodness and His mercy and His graciousness. All I know is that it was real. And I know the reason my children are all serving God today is because God is real in their lives too. My children, I took them on visitation. They went everywhere with me. In ministry with me, and I took them all, and they all saw God work mightily. They all saw God answer prayer. They all saw, sure, they saw problems in the ministry. And when my boys were old enough, they're like, I'm never going to be a pastor. I'm not going to go through my dad went through. But they're all serving God, and they're all doing great. And I'm thankful and grateful for that. I remember one day we got a call. I was going door to door, I think. I was going door to door on Vermont Street in our town, and I knocked at a door, and I heard somebody else say, "Come in." So I opened the door, my son and I walk in, and a guy's standing on a chair, ready to hang himself. And I said, wait a minute, let's talk. And so he came down, sat down, and we sat down, and I was there for about 2-3 hours with that man, going through the scriptures, trying to talk to him about the Lord and pray for him, and we led him to Christ. My son is seeing all of this too, and he's just a young teenage kid. And he saw the guy get saved. He saw the guy start coming to church and serving God too. What a blessing that was. Amen. So my children have seen God work mightily and miraculously. And so they're all involved in ministry today. And I'm grateful and I'm thankful for that. Amen. Listen, heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Amen. All vain glory, ambition, ignorance, and pride would be done away with if we just had a view of Christ in His glory. I believe. Amen. I'd like to end today with a poem. And it's called "I'm Just the Messenger." Amen. And it's written by a pastor's wife, by Nikki Lott. And she gave me a copy of this at a meeting I was at in Erie, Pennsylvania. And it starts out with a few Bible verses. It says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." And then in Proverbs, "As the cold of snow in the time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger to them that send him. For he refresheth the soul of his masters." And one more in Proverbs 25:25, "As cold water to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country." Amen. You know what? I'm still a nothing. I'm still a nobody. I'm just one nobody telling another nobody about somebody who can save anybody. Amen. And I'm just the messenger today. And so she writes, "I'm just the messenger. I've been entrusted with the most valuable and urgent of messages, the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not my responsibility to be certain that the recipient likes the message, agrees with the message, nor responds to the message. I cannot avoid giving the message because I fear it may be rejected. I cannot fail to deliver it because I am unsure it will, if it will be well received. My success or failure is not found in the responses of those to whom I deliver the message, simply in whether or not I deliver it. I am just the messenger. I have no right to change the message to make it agreeable or acceptable. I have no right to alter any terms, nor to offer any promises or assurances not stated therein. I have no right to insert my own opinions, ideas, or views. I do not need to pretty it up or water it down. I am just the messenger. I must deliver this message clearly, concisely, consistently. I must speak it fully and faithfully. I must recognize its urgency and act accordingly. I must convey it honestly and honorably. I must not be distracted, deterred, or delayed. I must not fall into wickedness, falter when I am weak, nor faint when I am weary. I must stand firmly, walk circumspectly, and run patiently. It must not be of any consequence to me the location to which I am assigned, the language in which I must speak, nor the length of time which is required to deliver it. I am just the messenger. I am to deliver the message I have been given by the method I am instructed, for the purpose it is intended. It isn't my message, it's His. It isn't my method, it is His. It isn't my mission, it is His. I should have no motives other than to fulfill His will. I should seek to honor it. Honor if it is accepted. I should seek no honor if it is accepted, nor feel shame if it is refused. I am just the messenger. It's an honor to do His work. It's a privilege to be commissioned to deliver such an important message. If it is rejected, I should not be surprised. He was rejected. If it is scorned, I should not be shocked. He was scorned. If it is mocked, I am mocked, and I'm mocked along with it. I should bear it gladly, knowing it is not for my sake, but for His. Will I be despised for bearing His message? If I bear it faithfully, it is certain that I will be despised by many. Will I be misunderstood, falsely accused, counted a fool? Doubtless I will. But there will be some who will receive it gladly. There will be some who will be eternally grateful. There will be some who will be encouraged. There will be some who will join the ranks and gladly take up the message themselves. And one day, when I stand before the Lord Jesus Christ to give account, I hope I will hear Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." With grateful heart, I will kneel before Him and praise Him for His goodness, for His grace, His gospel, His unspeakable gift, knowing that I am worthy of nothing, for I am just the messenger.
Right.
Amen.
Brother Dow, praise the Lord. Appreciate that.
Amen.
Let's all stand for just a moment and let's just rejoice in that. Hallelujah. There is a name.